grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
God's mercy endures forever.
Will you please join me in the opening prayer? O God, maker of everything and judge of all that you have made, from the dust of the earth you have formed us, and from the dust of the earth you would raise us up. By the redemptive power of the cross, create in us clean hearts and put within us a new spirit, that we may repent of our sins and lead lives worthy of your calling. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And will you please join us in hymn number 2128, and it's in the Faith We Sing book, the black small hymnal, and it's Come and Find the Quiet Center. The first reading this morning is from Psalm 51, and it's a traditional reading for this Ash Wednesday service. And as many of you know, the Psalms are attributed to David, although we're not sure he wrote all of them. But we can imagine why David would have a psalm about asking God to have mercy on him and to create in him a clean heart. Because we all know the story of David sending his lover's husband to the front of the battle lines to get killed so that he could then marry Bathsheba. So we've heard this story, and so we can imagine him really wanting God to forgive him and asking for repentance. So it's 51 verses 1 through 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all of my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation and sustain in me a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from bloodshed, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. And the gospel reading comes from Matthew, and it's from the 16th chapter, verses 1 through 6 and 16 to 21. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Will you please join me in prayer? May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts and the living of this day be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. So a few years ago, I saw a blog in the Huffington Post, and the blog mentioned, it was called The Trouble and Blessing of Lent. And essentially, this blog talked about how a lot of people don't participate in Ash Wednesday services, and the blog saw this as emblematic and problematic of our times. Because for me, this service is the most honest service of the year. Because what do we do on this day? We face our mortality. This is a day where we remember that we came from ashes, and to ashes we will return. I mean, Lent is not a happy holiday. I mean, it's not jolly, it's not like Advent, it's not like Easter, but it's a day where we're supposed to honestly reflect on our lives, where we're going, what we're doing, and to start thinking about ways in which we can change. I mean, if we look at the world around us, It reflects a value and a perspective that doesn't quite feel right. I mean, doesn't something in our lives feel out of alignment, out of sync? I mean, even today, I just heard the news that there was another school shooting in Florida. I mean, just we look at what's happening with the Rohingya people. We look at the folks in Syria and people in South Sudan who are facing yet another famine. Something is not in alignment. And even our weather seems off. Did you notice all the blooms on the trees as you were driving? This is February, folks. This isn't supposed to happen. Something is wrong. But this is a day where we're supposed to look at this, look at what's happening, and figure out ways that we can change. And instead of cynicism and despair, we're called to hope. But how does that happen? Several years ago, I went to New Orleans and I took, you know how they have all those haunted tours. I went on the haunted tour, and at the end, you got to meet the voodoo priestess of New Orleans. And I looked at her, and somewhat cynically, I said, "So why is the world all messed up?" And she just looked at me and she said, "Child, it's not the world that's messed up. It's you need to change your attitude." And that kind of, I walked away and I said, okay, I was trying to be cynical, and this woman just put me right back in my place. You know, we're called to hope. And how do we do that? I mean, we all face horrendous struggles in our daily lives. We have marriages that are breaking apart. We have friends and loved ones that are dying. There's a lot of suffering and struggle. But all is not lost. Instead, the intent of this day is to center us. We need to focus on what's important, and we need to change our direction. I shared last Sunday that the word that's used in Greek for repent is metanoia. And metanoia means to move beyond our limited knowledge, to move beyond our small minds and small-mindedness into something bigger and greater. Isn't that what we're called to do on this day? Get out of our own ways, move beyond pettiness and small-mindedness, and open ourselves to be one with divinity. So today, we gather here to come together, and we acknowledge our suffering. And a lot of times we suffer because the world presents us with a lie. The world promises us health, wealth, beauty, happiness. And what really happens is we face mortality, despair, and brokenness. So why gather? Why should we come here tonight? Because we come here to remember that we're caught in a rhythm that's both ancient and new. It's a rhythm of life and death, rebirth, renewal. And we remember our mortality. That's why we gather on this night. And all that God asks of us is a humble and repentant heart. That's all we have to do. Acknowledge the places in our lives where there's brokenness. Do so with humility and honesty. And ask each other and ourselves for forgiveness. We remember that every difficulty or storm cannot be defeated by even the smallest of steps. Every time we at least take a tiny step, even if it's the smallest step, we are making a statement of hope. We are saying that we hope and we know that things can be different. We also gather to remember the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness. And while Jesus was in the wilderness, yes, he was tempted and he was tested, but angels were also present with him. And I ask all of you, where are the wilderness places in your own lives? And when you go out into the wilderness, do you go out there to cleanse and to heal? I read about the man who started the Appalachian Trail. And one of the things that happened was he was a World War I veteran, and he couldn't shake all the horrible memories of his life, and so he just started walking. And he walked until he felt cleansed and healed. And similarly, in Cheryl Strayed's book, Wild, when she hiked on the Pacific Crest Trail, she said that she went out on the trail to become the woman that her mother thought she was. She needed to heal. And sometimes we need to go out into the wilderness to become the people that those who love us know us to be. Lent is a season of extremes. We have brokenness and we have wholeness. And there's a difference between, you know, accepting this brokenness or trying to make changes in our lives. So ashes, these ashes that we're going to impose on our foreheads, remind us that deep within darkness and dust lies the imprint of something green and full of life. Because we get these ashes from the palms of last year's Palm Sunday. And so this reminds us that always present in dust and darkness is hope of new life. So, amen. I'm going to ask you all to stand if you're able and sing hymn number 512. Please be seated, and I've asked Nikki to read. Do you remember those vision statements that I asked you to do during Advent in the empty picture frames? Well, I compiled a list of all the prayers of this congregation, and so Nikki is going to lead us in these prayers tonight.
community outreach, Bible study, serving the homeless, and proving to be in love with God every day with prayer. Love my family, and my mom and dad are the best. Love me. Patience, kindness. I would like to see the love and compassion that this church has for each other continue in 2018. Continue to care for my elderly friends. Compassion. Be more open to change and growth, reaching out and bringing all who love God to FUMC Loomis. Be fully present, be more timely, world peace, and peace within our entire family as it becomes united in marriage. Hope for everyone who become a modern family. Do all the good you can. Love and care more deeply. My goal is to bring my family closer to God and the house. I hope that this church keeps having hope, peace, and love. I hope the church keeps growing and changing and also accepting everyone. Visit the homebound to help all of us to be closer to God. Fun or activities. For good support of First UMC of Loomis, financial, time, energy, ideas, prayers, growth for all. That we hear the message of the sermon and community and communion and carry it us with the leave and sanctuary and go out into the world action. I wish for the church garden to produce tons more food next year. Give back in service. My vision for 2018 is for more love, simplicity, and joy of life. Remember and honor our church family traditions, while being open to change and new ways to grow, personally and as a church. Never forget our Japanese heritage. Do more for my God, my church, and my community. Keep my faith strong. Love. Be more positive. Have a more open mind, compassion, and love to engage with this church. More peace and love in the world. My vision is that our congregation will grow and include more young and diverse worshipers. I want to commit to more study. I love this church. My vision is to grow our congregation, care more deeply, get to know each other. My vision is for our church to grow and prosper as we serve this community in the coming year. Hope, peace, joy, and love. Listening deeply, peace of mind. Be more committed to our church goals. Amen.
Thank you, Nikki, and quite an amazing list, and it comes from this congregation. So these are the hopes and prayers of this congregation for the year ahead. So may the Spirit of the living God present with us now enter you, body, mind, and spirit, and heal you of all that harms you. In Jesus' name, amen. So at this time, I'm going to invite you, if you feel so called, to come forward, and I will put the ashes and the sign of a cross on your forehead to remind you that from ashes you came and to ashes you will return. And I will ask you to repent and believe the gospel. So if you'd like to come forward, I have the ashes and all are welcome. I'll start with the prayer over the ashes. Almighty God, you have created us out of the dust of the earth. Grant that these ashes may be to us a sign of our mortality and penitence, so that we may remember that only by your gracious gift are we given eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. And will you please join me in the Lord's Prayer? Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will you all please stand if you're able and join us in Precious Lord, Take My Hand, number 474. Watch now, dear Lord, with those who work or wait or weep today. Tend your sick ones, O Lord Christ. Rest your weary ones. Bless your dying ones. Soothe your suffering ones. Pity your afflicted ones. Shield your joyous ones. And all for your love's sake. Amen. And so now is Lent begun. Carry your past as lightly as an ash. Serve your God with patience and passion. Be deliberate in enacting your faith. Be steadfast in celebrating the Spirit's power. And may peace be your way in the world. Amen. And I'm also going to add, when I was at Standing Rock, the greeting that we were presented with every time we went through security to be at Standing Rock, North Dakota, we were asked, "Are you living in a good way?" So my question to all of you as you go forth tonight is, are you living in a good way? Amen. Go in peace.